Got it.
Wow, that sounded really professional with that Tacoma, Seattle thing in there, huh? We better step it up. Tommy, get in here. I think they're expecting a professional show or something. Tommy. Oh, look who looks all vaccinated. Oh, look at you, all vaccinated.
I'm half vaxxed to you.
Half vaxxed. All right. Yeah, put on half a mask. Dive it in the news. God damn, yeah. I cut it close. I dove into the little creek out there heading into Yakima about 10 minutes ago. So I am.
Wow.
I feel great. Yes. And then Dougie came over like Punxsutawney Phil, just about as hairy, and said, well, and I'm cutting out of the off, but just fill in your old F bombs yourself. Well, you made it through the winter.
Oh, he's officially calling it over, huh?
That's it. Apparently, it's done. He said, you made it through. You almost died. That's all right. That's all right. So, you got some wood left over. I said, so this is it? He goes, that's it. You made it.
Only one
March
tree
1st.
Fell
that's
on
probably
you.
Only one tree crushed through the thing and almost killed me. Yeah. So, all together, so, apparently, that's it. It's over.
In three weeks, you're going to have to come up with another excuse not to have me come visit you.
you believe me. Come, that was not an excuse, Tom. What kind of car do you drive?
Just kidding. A RAV4. It does have four-wheel drive, but we didn't have chains. So, Paige was relieved to hear we weren't visiting you.
Good.
Over the weekend, as it
all
turned
right.
out.
You'll be here 3 weeks from now. I'm going to have my big party in the summer, so that'll all work out. By the way, speaking of summer, summer could be actually a time to go to school. This is a Republican senator that comes up with what is described as a great idea to save the year for Washington State schools. You don't often see that in the Seattle Times, the word Republican and great in the same sentence. But
that's why it made it into the headline.
That's right. That's right. Whoa, look at this. Somebody with a good idea. So what you would do is you just sort of move the dates around. Spring or summer school would start now. That the summer break would be now. Is that it? I think I've got some sound of this. Let's see what we got here.
Okay, good.
All right. All right. He's explaining who is this good Republican? What is this guy's name?
Hawkins?
Is he from East? Yeah, is he? Oh, yeah, from over
from
here. He's over in Eastern. Okay.
Basically,
okay. Yes.
Since our state is unfortunately so slow in getting school employees vaccinated and a lot of schools are sort of resisting returning to full operations, and the state continues to invest so much every day in our K-12 education system statewide, I was just proposing a break swap where school districts could swap their spring break with their summer break, as you mentioned. And that would give school employees an opportunity to get vaccinated. Presumably, the COVID case counts would be way down. And then everybody can return in the summer, maybe not the seniors, but everybody else, K through 11, could return in person inside the buildings for their instruction. Because universally, I think what we're hearing from school district officials and educational advocates is that in-building instruction is the ideal choice. And if that's the case, let's not burn up all of the 180 state-funded school days this early on in the school year.
All right. So far, it makes too much sense. That's the problem. He says it would be an option for districts and not a requirement.
I mean, some people think that I'm trying to mandate something across the entire state, and that's really not the case. I'm just basically putting out an option for what I think school districts could consider, because clearly school districts have struggled with trying to return to their buildings. Basically, the way it works in the state of Washington is the state provides a significant amount of funding to our schools, but there are 295 different school districts, and they're each administered by their own school superintendents and governed by their locally elected school boards. So it's not the state of Washington that's going to be deciding this. It's going to be each individual school board and school district as a local government entity.
Yeah. This is interesting that the state of Washington, why haven't parents, as in San Francisco, sued the school board the way they have in San Francisco? Where are the parents? I know in Bellevue they got pretty organized and they got close to it. And then I think the union might have caved in there when the school district said, OK, then we're going to bring in non-union teachers.
Yeah.
But where are the parents to form like some sort of group and just put the screws to these local school boards to open these schools up to get these kids in there? Where are those parents?
Well, there are lots of parents out there that feel that way, but there may not. It may not be even a majority or a strong enough majority of people that feel that way, or a strong enough minority to make life hell. There are a lot of complications. So, for instance, I understand if you're a parent, you've got kids at home. Oh my God, get my kids out of my home! It's driving us all crazy. We're all going batty. I'm still working from home.
They're not
like
getting
that.
An education. They're depressed.
Well, yeah,
they're
maybe,
sick.
Yes,
they're,
maybe
yeah.
not. Now
yeah.
some, and I think
falling
it's a minority
further and further
students,
behind.
Some students are doing better. But so if you tell a parent, okay, that's good, every Tuesday and Wednesday they're going to go to school, but from on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday they're not, or yeah. every third Monday. The problem is that not that many schools are opening 5 days a week. It's always a hybrid version. And I can imagine if you're a parent, some parents, and again, I understand every parent has a different agenda or different, you know, desires, but it might uh-huh. be so, you know, cumbersome to actually work out that some parents just, you know, sort of throwing up their hands at it. You guys, you on the school board, you figure it out. And if they, you know, if we can put in our 2 cents, that's fine. But I don't know if there's enough of a will for parents. For instance, we just heard last week, Lake Washington School District just announced, you know what? No, I think it's middle school and high school. We're not going to get to it by the end of this year. It's just not going to happen. Maybe next right. year, but we just not going to. Well, so today I think I heard that there were some Lake Washington parents getting together to kind of rally the effort to say, hey, don't give up on us so soon. Well, we'll have to see. Uh-huh. Is that 5% of the parents? If it's 50, 60, 70% all clamoring, that might have an impact. But I don't know that there's a unanimity at this point to, you know, for one set of plans to try. I think this is an ingenious idea. I don't know how parents and or teachers and staff will respond to this. I think depending on the size of the district, this seems like a possible solution. I know a lot of teachers, for instance, have a second job during the summer to supplement their income. That could throw things, off base. I know a lot of parents plan family vacations, and if this is like the first vacation they'll be able to take, if we're really over the COVID hump, then they might say, no, we've got this big trip planned, this family vacation planned. I don't want to. So there are a lot of kind of planning problems, but I think this is a creative solution to the problem right now, is which we, if we want our
how
teachers
about just
vaccinated,
open the schools?
They'll have a better chance in June.
CDC has said, and apparently this is the science people, the CDC, that teachers don't have to get vaccinated, that it's not necessary. And I think Fauci might have said the same thing, that they don't
seniors
have to get vaccinated.
In high school, but or senior citizens?
The teachers don't need to be vaccinated.
Teachers.
Teachers, yeah. But you have some teachers' organizations saying, no, we're not going to go back until all the teachers are vaccinated, which is a stall job. Why don't you go back? I was comparing Utah to Washington. Utah had one of the least lockdowns, and they have less deaths per 100,000 than the state of Washington. And by the way, they're having their junior prom is going to be happening in Park City. Coming up this spring, football is 25% and outdoor activities, 25% capacity for spectators. So Utah really kind of just sort of said, had kind of wide open, and a lot of people from California and lockdown states came to Utah and spent the fall and the winter there in order to enjoy the fact that there was more freedom. So it's interesting to see that Utah's death per 100,000 less than the state of Washington. Unemployment there is 4.1% compared to the what's that?
I mean, the state
we were
of
66.
Pretty good, though.
Yeah, we're 66 out of 100,000. They were 60 out of 100,000. Some of the states that were least locked down and didn't have the same death rates as Washington did. But, you know, there's so many variables included in there, like age and temperature and all the other stuff. But pretty much if you look across the board, very similar demographics to Utah to Washington. You see just two different, completely different ways they run the thing. They're back. The schools are open. Kids are going in there, some hybrid, some, but mostly going back. But again, Washington, for some reason, I don't know what it is. I don't know why the parents don't push harder to have the kids in school. I'm going to go with the idea that those parents that would organize and get things going, they've decided they're just pulling their kids out of public school, either homeschooling them, creating these sort of pods of parents that are teaching, or they're going to send their kid to a private school. But who knows? Maybe this will work. By the way, one last cut from our senator. He says that he doesn't want to consider getting rid of all of summer break.
It creates incentive for some school districts, not all 295, but some school districts to pilot a longer school calendar for spreading their 180 school days over an 11-month school year or a 12-month school year. I think that's much better than a 9-month school year where kids take essentially almost 3 months off every summer, and then there's a lot of reteaching and remediation work every September. And because of COVID, I think now's the time to think differently, not only in the longer term to address learning recovery, but also potentially this year by swapping the breaks.
Yeah, I heard him on Genius List say this, and I think this is a clever way for him to introduce something that he would like. He would like year-round, you know, all, what do you call it, year-round school that you take, you know, breaks every I don't know, every 3 months or something, instead of having one big break. And this is his chance to kind of sneak that in through the back door. However, whether you like the idea of year all round, all year school or not, I do think this is something that it'd be worth considering, because that gives more people a chance to get their vaccinations. And the more people vaccinated, the odds are better even than they are now. I think this seems doable.
Mm. All right. Well, let's see. It's some way the kids will go back, and I guess they will carry the burden of the fact that they really didn't get any education for almost an entire year. But I saw everybody talking about how much the economy lost as far as money's concerned, because these kids really got kind of screwed for a year. But moving on to the fact that it is tough breaks.
Right.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about the fact that the bill passes the House and it's heading into the Senate in order to be able to spend some money on COVID-19? $1.9 trillion plan is making its way towards the Senate. They had to strip out the $15 minimum wage. That won't be included in there. They passed this thing at 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, I guess because they didn't want people to really see the stinkeroos that were inside this thing, Tom.
Not hardly, because the thing is it doesn't matter. I think this notion that, in the dead of night, with 24-hour news coverage, it was covered all day Saturday and all day Sunday and all the programs. So I don't think that's the case. I think it was just sort of the parliamentary maneuvering that took place, that it ended up being at 2:30 in the morning. I don't think most of those people wanted it to be 2:30 in the morning. But, you know, be that as it may, it ended up not garnering any Republican support. Right. It was just only Democrats that passed it through, and they passed it through with the minimum wage, knowing that the parliamentarian of the Senate was the one who decided that it wasn't cricket to do this by Senate rules, not by House rules. So after it was passed, now it'll be stripped for consideration by the Senate, and then it'll go back to the House.
Yeah. What do you think about the fact that they've got this special thing in there? If you're a federal employee, you could get $21,000 and take off for as much as 4 to 6 months if you have a member of the family that you're nursing that it might have COVID, that you have had COVID and you're bedridden. So you get, I think it's 4 to 6 months off. You get $21,000 from the federal government. Or if your life has been impacted, meaning your kid has not been able to go to school, then you can also get the $21,000. That's included in the program. That's built right in there, and it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to pull that thing out or if people find out about it. It's called the Emergency Federal Leave Plan. It's part of the $1.9 trillion program. I wonder how Americans would feel about that, that the federal workers get $21,000 if their kids are out of school.
I haven't drilled down deeply into it to know if what that particular issue is about. If it's about people caring for other people with COVID or something, when you say federal employees, that'd be like a postal worker or something. So the guy who delivers your mail or the woman who delivers your mail, is that who we're talking about, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's called the Emergency Federal Leave Plan. It's in the House version, $1.9 relief bill included Senate. Yeah. So that it would be so people that are interrupted or in some way have had their, yeah. So here you go. The $21,000 federal employees will, with kids out of school, but ignores the millions of parents outside of D.C. who are still suffering as well. But you get $21,000. That's included in there. I wonder if people get upset about that. I mean, if people to hear about that, and you didn't see it, Tom, but if people to learn about that, is that the kind of thing that organizes the Tea Party, the next group of people to get together and get mad at some of these carve-outs for federal employees, because really the Democrats care about unions and federal workers, and that's why the $1.9 trillion has not a whole lot when it comes to COVID, but a whole lot of nice little cookies for other sort of special interest groups.
So what the polls indicate is even among Republicans, there is support for this bill. Now, you're right. Individual items are not what people are looking at, or they don't have time to care about that stuff. They know that they're going to get $1,400.
That's right. So everybody, who wouldn't want that?
So
who wouldn't want that?
Exactly.
Right?
So if this thing goes through, the big picture is more people will be helped than not. Now, I mean, I think you're taking a very small
help by what, Tom?
But what's that?
Help by what?
Help by this
get
COVID
money?
Relief. It's the idea is
money?
Money goes to individuals. It also goes to buck up the economy. I mean, the basic overall thrust of this, the people are in support of. Not the Republican Party in Congress, but Republicans across the country are saying this is more good than bad. And that's the balance.
When you rob Peter to pay Paul, you're not going to hear many complaints from Paul, right?
That's right, but Peter and Paul are both going to benefit from this.
Oh, no. Somebody pays. Somebody pays.
Well, the federal government pays. And by
the federal there is no such thing. There is no such thing as the federal government. Who pays?
To so amongst 350 million people, the pain isn't as much.
I see. Yeah. Well, you know who pays? Your grandkids.
I suppose, but that's
okay.
And are the grandkids that are paying for the previous debt. We figured
not
out
like
a way
this.
To deal with the debt so we don't have to pay through the nose.
All right, I got it. I robbed Peter to pay Paul. No complaints from Paul. Oh, wow. Yeah. Keel Mortgage, they are the... Absolutely right on it. By the way, Sherry filled in for you on Friday and messed up Jesse Jones's name twice. And I told her,
what did
I
she
said,
call
he's
going to
come
him,
knocking
Charlie?
At your door. No, just, I don't know. We stumbled over it a couple times. And then when I made fun of her, then she stumbled over it again. And then I said, he's going to come knocking at your door. It's not going to be pleasant.
I think she tried to say Jesse James once real quick.
Yes.
And then,
she threw that in.
Oh, well, you know, Jesse Jones might like that.
Yeah, Jesse James.
Jesse James.
It took him a long time to establish Jesse Jones. Don't be switching that up on him. Keel Mortgage, Tom. Say that name right. That's right, Keel. Everybody at Keel Mortgage wants to make sure that you, if you need to get yourself a brand new loan, because as I said the other day, and Tom said I was trying to scare you, that mortgage rates are going up. Yes, they are. And right now, lock one in and save yourself some money if you plan on staying in that house. 1-888-778-KIEL. It is Keel Mortgage. How long has this place been tied up by somebody? The Smith Tower, by the way, which was the tallest building west of the Mississippi, built by Mr. Smith from Smith Corona Typewriters. And there it was, the beautiful, beautiful skyscraper that really was like the highest, the tallest thing anywhere around, has that big blue ball on the very top of it. I think it was the last building in Seattle that actually still had a doorman or an elevator operator. You know, you get in the thing and there's the poor guy sitting on the stool and closing the gate and pressing the button for you. Seriously odd stuff to have an elevator operator, but there at the very, very, very top, there was an apartment, and the person had signed, I assume, a long lease.
20-year lease that just ended this year.
Can you get in there now? Could somebody rent the place?
They're now looking for a new lease to be only 3 to 5 years. It could be longer, but I think a minimum would be somewhere between 3 and 5 years. So, yes, it is open for anybody. You can contact Moira Hawley, listing agent, the Seattle Times said. Uh-huh. It was great because I love this story. I love the idea of being able to live atop an, you know, sort of a monument like Smith Tower. So I was fascinated. So I went on to her website and looked at all the other. She has very exotic kinds of properties. But, yeah, this thing has been. It was remodeled into this sort of, it's like a penthouse apartment in the 90s. And for the last 20 years, someone has been there and they've now moved out. And so it's now open to anybody who has $17,000 a month to pay for a minimum 3 years to 5 years or longer if you would like. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit too rich for everybody's blood, except maybe the crowd you run in, John. But to me, I wish it'd been a kind of like an Airbnb. I would love to save up money for a year to splurge for like a weekend just to stay up there, because I love the notion. It's a spectacular view based on all the pictures. You've got windows looking out on all sides, obviously, of the Seattle waterfront. And then I hear tell, jealous though I am, that you've actually been there.
Yes, I'm pretty sure I know the person who had it for a long time. An Evening Magazine went there. We did a story on it. They let us go in there and shoot. And we took the camera and put it at the top of the ball. There's like a catwalk in there. It's not exactly the easiest place to kind of move around. But they had had it for a long time. I think they were somehow associated with Dale Dihouli. It was either Dale Dihouli's assistant or girlfriend or... slash assistant, but somehow all tied in there. So now that they're out. By the way, the top, I don't know if you'd necessarily like to stay there.
Really?
The place is an absolute no. It's beautiful. The building is beautiful. The apartment, I'm assuming, is beautiful. I'm saying the neighborhood is a crap hole. that's the problem. It is completely and absolutely infested with just garbage everywhere. Unfortunately, for our friend that has the really cool Irish restaurant right there next to Smith Tower, and then Tats is right over there with great cheesesteaks and stuff, but the rest of that area is just horrible. Horrible. And it's really sad. I know you've obviously been down there in a while, but it's so awful. And yeah, maybe from up top you could enjoy the view, but knowing you've got to go back down again and then be through all that mess, it's just sad. So sad. Do you think people are going to come back again to Seattle? I saw somebody had said that when sporting events open again and people can come back again, like it's a Seahawks game, that people will get a chance to find, because most people have not been downtown. Down in Pioneer Square, haven't been down there, haven't seen it. They will be shocked, this one article said, when they do return to the city to go to a sporting event and they have to walk through piles of garbage.
Well, I haven't been in the stadium district. No, I have been downtown. It looks more like a ghost town. I didn't see a heavy sign of a homelessness or garbage in the downtown, you know, core around, you know, the old Bon Marché in that area, Westlake Center. But I can imagine that once fans, because the last time I was anywhere near the Smith Tower was, you know, at one of these games, like at a Mariners game or something.
Yeah.
You can't, the sports crowd tends to, so it wasn't that, it didn't seem like that, I don't know what you would consider it scary or dangerous or something, because there's a lot of foot traffic with the sporting events there. But yeah.
Yes. The name of the restaurant is O'Donnell's. That's the place right next door. And they helped us out when we went to, you and I did a scavenger hunt. If you remember this or not, we had tickets and we left it at O'Donnell's for, I think, for a Seahawks game or something or other. And they helped us out and had people running into their restaurant yelling about, like, where are the tickets? Or what was the extra clue to something like that? By the way, speaking of rent as well, that the CDC, along with the executive branch of the government in September, the Trump administration and the CDC stepped in and said, you know what? You can't evict anybody. If you evict somebody, you throw them out. They could possibly get COVID. So no evictions for anybody. If you're making $90-some thousand a year up to $189,000, that those people cannot be thrown out. And then somebody said, well, this doesn't seem well, really. How does the CDC get the power to be able to step in there and stop the landlord from being paid? It's been challenged in court. And I think Texas said, yeah, you're right. They've overextended their hand and they're not allowed to do something like that. So it
yeah, this is one of three rulings so far. Federal judges in Maryland and Virginia said it was constitutional, but one judge now in Texas says it's not. And it's because he's a federal judge. It's within his power to say, and this extends across the country or mm-hmm. just in my jurisdiction. And he didn't say it extends across the country at this point. Two other judges had ruled, you know, opposite him. What he said was that this is true for anyone in the East Texas district, which is where he's the federal judge of. But he did say that he was willing to consider going, you know, proclaiming it national if depending mm-hmm. on how the federal government responds. So, yeah, that's yes. So that's it. Just as the headline says, it's just more uncertainty for renters because they got two judges saying it's OK, another judge saying it's not OK. And the risk of having it, you know, go national is still a possibility.
Yeah, I talked to a friend of mine. I won't say his name on the air, but he listens all the time and he's heavily involved in landlords and tenants and all stuff like that in the Northwest. And he was telling me that they had this program in place that the tenant could go and fill out this paperwork and apply for this money to then pay the landlord. Well, hardly anybody did. This is in the state of Washington. This is in Seattle. Hardly any of them did because, like, I don't really care, right? It's not going to be my money. So then they flipped it around and they said, no, I'll tell you what. The landlord fills out the paperwork and then gets the money from the government. And now they've been doing that, and it's been working much better because, of course, the landlord wants to get paid. The tenant didn't care about filling out the paperwork and running through all that stuff because it wasn't going to be their money. It was going to go right through their hands and to the landlord. So there is some relief coming for landlords in the state of Washington, both federal and
good.
State dollars. Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, one of the problems is, and this is, again, this is not just reacting against the Biden administration. This is a Trump administration when they were still in charge. They were the ones who did this. And they had this order, you know, they told the CDC to make this order official, but it didn't include rental relief. And I think that's a mistake. Right. It sounds like in this case, we've got some rental relief. Even if it is the landlords that have to fill out the paperwork.
They're more than happy to get the money. Wow, just reading more about Russell Wilson, Tom. Wow.
Yeah, he's dominating in the off season so far on all the national sports shows and now even Wall Street Journal. What's the latest you read?
Well, I'm just reading about Derek Carr. And I guess the thing is that when you are – you know, you want to let your agent know, hey, you know, float it out there. Make them a little nervous here in Seattle that I'm, you know, just looking around. I think there was like three or four different teams that he would be interested in.
Yeah.
This again, these are all rumors but this helps with negotiation. This helps get him maybe some leverage again. We did a story, I think it was the other day, Thursday or Friday, that he was at the table. This is back in, what was it, was it September or something like that? He wanted more control, more influence over different, you know, trades and what was happening overall with the structure of the team and quote unquote stormed out, which we don't understand how you storm out of a Zoom meeting, but storms out. And then at that point, now the question is, will Russell Wilson, is he long for this world in Seattle? But didn't we have a conversation similar to this a couple of years ago about Russell thinking or wanting to go to New York? And remember all that, Tom?
Well, yeah. And again, we think that that's his agent floating it just to kind of, we are very comfortable with Russ. He seems like he's not a guy who wants to make waves as a rule. He's sort of a yes man. He was like a coach's son type. And so I think he wanted to change his image up a bit. And this was not long after he married a Sierra. And obviously, if you're based in New York, for instance, your media media opportunities are plentiful for her if he was the quarterback of the New York Jets or the New York Giants, for that matter. And so I think this is one of the, it's a fascinating release. These teams are not just being speculated upon, because there are a lot of other teams that might be interested. His agent tweeted out or told Adam Schefter from ESPN, I don't want to be traded. I'm not asking to be traded, but if I was, these are the four teams I'd go to. Well, of course, those four towns are now going to start, speculating like crazy, and it just sort of ramps up the attention meter, and it gets Russell Wilson in the discussion. There was so much discussion about Tom Brady, then a lot of discussion about Aaron Rodgers because he was the MVP this year. Well, now everybody's talking about Russell Wilson. The one downside, and it's great because most people come in and say, Russell Wilson's one of the best three or four, quarterbacks out there. I mean, he's like he is really a superstar. So many teams would, lustfully grab for him if they could possibly get him on
their
team.
I'll just jump in so people aren't following. It's the Cowboys, the Bears, the Saints, the Raiders.
Raiders, right. Those are the four teams. The one downside of all this discussion about how great Russell is they're comparing him to Deshaun Watson, who is the quarterback for the Texans, who's 6 years younger, I think, maybe even 7 years younger. And they say, okay, he really wants out. I mean, he's got a horrible situation. Russell Wilson's actually pretty well said here. He hates it. And so they said, well, who would you rather have, Deshaun and or Russell Wilson? They said, well, they're both great quarterbacks, but, I would rather go with Deshaun. Most commentators are saying, just because he's so much younger and he seems at least as good as Russell and maybe even better. I don't think that's the kind of discussion Russell wants to hear. He wants to hear how he's as good as Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. Instead, he's being compared to a guy who's younger than him.
Well, here's the is this the mayor of New Orleans?
Yes, mayor of New Orleans wants him.
And I want to make sure that you understand that the city of New Orleans is a place for you and your beautiful family. I'm LaToya Cantrell, mayor of the city of New Orleans, and I know, Mr. Wilson, that you will be a great addition to the New Orleans Saints. And more importantly, I can see us in that number winning that Super Bowl championship once again. And what else I can see? The Mrs. Ciara Wilson herself on that main stage during the historical Essence Festival. Just wanted to stop in to let you know that we not only admire you, we want you. Love you, man. Love Ciara. Love your beautiful family. The culture of the city of New Orleans awaits you.
There you go. It's laid a it message on from the women's laboratory there in New Orleans. So it's
New Orleans. I never hear. Is that how they pronounce it down there? New Orleans.
Nolans, Tom. Nolans.
I know, but that's not the way she was pronouncing it.
There's an echo. She's in the ladies' room. All right. By the way, I haven't the mayor shocked back with something really profound.